probably about as nervous, I reckon, as about as I've ever been. And I always tell people when they tell me that they've got to preach or they got to do something for the Lord, you better be nervous. Amen. If you ain't nervous, you ain't got no business being up here. That's just how it is. And tonight I'm going to try this microphone out. Last time I didn't get to do that. So I think I've got it. Get rid of this thing. I'm about to choke out tonight. And that's just one of the first things I've got to do is get rid of that. Get rid of all the hindrances the devil can use against me while I'm up here. And that rascal, he tries to derail the train as much as he can, so I don't want to give him any excuse. So if you have your Bibles tonight, turn over to 2 Chronicles. I'll be reading in the 6th chapter for just a minute, then I'm going to go to the 7th chapter and read some. And Preacher Lawson preached on part of this here not long ago, and I was kindly hoping that he would just continue and keep going with it, but he skipped over a few things, and I guess the Lord just left me a little nugget right there to grab a hold of. And when I got to praying and studying about preaching tonight, and the Lord laid this scripture on my heart, and I'll get to the verse that I want to take my text from here in just a minute. So you pray for me tonight. I desire interest in your prayers, and if the Lord moves up on the scene, we'll have a good time tonight, and I'll be able to give you what he's given me, and if he don't move, well, I'll shut up, I'll sit down and let somebody else have it, amen? I'm not one to try to make a mess out of things. I won't do that because I can't do anything on my own, and I would never try that. So, 2 Chronicles 6, chapter 34th verse says here, "If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for my name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, We have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant." I want to stop for just a second right there, and I'll get into the 7th chapter here in a minute. You can be seated, and I want you to understand something. This is right in the middle of Solomon's prayer. He just got done building the temple there, and the Bible says here that they had took and they had made a sacrifice down there, and he had sent the priest and the Levites down there to get the Ark of the Covenant out of the tabernacle, and the Bible says that the glory filled that place when they went in to that new temple there, and they went in there, and the Bible says that God filled that place with glory. How many of you would like to see this place filled with glory tonight? Amen. I would. If you don't, you need to repent and get right. Amen. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm desiring to see the Spirit of God come in this place and cut this place loose and come in here like it did on the day of Pentecost, like a mighty rushing wind, and somebody get happy and a few people get saved and somebody rededicate their life. It's about time we get down to business with God. Amen. We've come in here long enough, this and that and the other. And I'm going to tell you something, church. God is still real today. The Bible says that he's a God of fire. And he'll come in here and he'll light your fire tonight if you'll let him. Amen. He sure will. Let's go to the 7th chapter. It says, "Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying," amen, listen to this, "and the fire came down from heaven
and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Once again, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Amen. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Amen. Amen. Now that's just plain English right there, isn't it? Amen. You see what the children of Israel did right there? Amen. They seen the glory of the Lord come in there. They seen the fire of heaven fall, and they bowed on their face and thanked the Lord for what he done right there in that place. I wonder why that we can't get there today. Amen. I can tell you why. Let's go on to the 12th verse and we'll get into this message. It says there, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people," listen to this close. This is where I'm going to take my text from. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Amen and amen. I want you to understand something tonight, church. Solomon prayed that prayer. In the 34th verse, he knew exactly how the children of Israel was. He knew that when they went down there and they crossed the Red Sea and they got on the other side, they were singing the song of Moses. When they got into the wilderness, they started to complain. They started to sin. Amen. They're just like we are. So this verse right here, it applies to us today. There's a bunch of naysayers out there today. I read this yesterday, and it cut me like a knife. They said that this Old Testament wouldn't apply to today. I got news for them. The divine inspiration of God wrote this book, and the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. Amen. And we're to learn from that. That's what this thing's built on. Amen. God created this thing, and he's still a God today, just like he was then. Amen. Amen. He said, "If my people," who is that? Who is my people? I believe today, then he was talking about the children of Israel. Amen. If you've been saved by the goodness grace of God, brother and sister, he's talking to you today. Amen. He said, "Which are called by my name." When I was a little boy, I told you my testimony last time I stood. God called my name, and he knew that I was headed for a devil's hell. And he stepped over there and he called me. Or that night, if I hadn't answered that call of God and become one of his, I'd have been lifting my eyes in a devil's hell. Amen. And if you're in that shape tonight, you can be saved. Amen. 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 "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." Boy, that's hard for us to do, ain't it? It's hard for you to do to get humility. That's hard for you to do to fall on your face before an almighty God and humble yourself. I'm going to tell you tonight, it's better for you to do it on your own, honey, because you don't want God to humble you. He will jerk a knot in you and he'll get your attention any way that he's got to get it. Amen. But humble yourself before an almighty God and ask him and tell him how sorrowful you are for your sins, for what you've done wrong. Amen. Amen. "Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." Seek his face. One writer wrote in a place, he said, "Seek him while he's near. Seek him while he may be found." Amen. Church,
Temple Baptist Church tonight, we need to seek the Lord. We need to seek Him. Amen. We do. We need, thank you, Lucas. I appreciate it. We need to get a hold of God tonight. There's people that's dying and going to hell tonight. We can do this and we can do that and we can have this title and we can have that title. And I'm afraid a lot of times we as Baptists, we get title hungry is what we do. Amen. That title don't mean a hill of beans if you're not using it for the glory and the honor of God. That's what He wants. That's why Solomon built that temple down there, was to honor the Almighty God and give Him a place where He could put the Ark of the Covenant in a permanent place. Amen. Amen. Did you know that when Moses gave them the degree to build the Ark of the Covenant, he told them to take a shittim wood and lay it in gold and put it in there as staves. Amen. And he told them, he said, don't ever take them out because they would have to move it from place to place as they traveled. But when they got where they was going, amen, and Solomon built the temple, you know what it said back there in the fifth chapter? It said it pulled the staves out of where it was going to be. Amen. That means it was a permanent place. Amen. That means that it was there for good, that Solomon had done the right thing and he had dedicated the temple to God Himself. And I got to thinking as I was studying, what's in your temple tonight, huh? Amen. What's in your temple? What's there? What have you cluttered it up with? It's time that we search our hearts. You want to know, we had a wonderful service here a couple of Sundays ago, didn't we? There was people in the choir shouting. There was people in the audience shouting. I don't know what the people at home was doing. Can't see them, amen. But I know what we were doing here. And I was beating the fool out of that piano there and getting all the glory out of it that I could get out of it, amen. And Angela told me, she said, well, maybe you had been the spark to the fire. I said, I was. I was beating the fool out of the piano is what I was doing. That's how the Lord blesses me when I'm playing for the choir. He blesses these hands. Thank God that He's given me a talent that I've been able to help you here. Amen. And God has blessed us since then. But I want more. I want a lot more than what we're getting. I want a lot more. I want to see the Spirit of God come in this place that'd scare you to death. Amen. How many of you have ever seen two preachers on the floor preaching at the same time? You could understand both of them. I've seen that one time in the 50 years I've been alive. One time. The Spirit of God was in that house so thick you couldn't cut it with a knife. It was unreal. It scared me to death. I was just a little kid. I'd heard tell of that. My papa was a preacher. And I'd heard him tell of that, how the Spirit of God could get in there and He could move. Church, I'm going to tell you today, He's still the same God that created this earth. He's the same God that saved your dying soul from a devil's hell. He's still the same God in this wicked world that we're living in. Brother Lawson preached about that this morning. I'm going to tell you, folks, He's spot on. It's bad out there. You don't know if you're not out there in the world every day. You don't know what we face. It's on every hand. And then you got a bunch of panty-waist preachers filling the pulpits of God all over America that's smoothing people and patting them on the head and telling them what they're doing is all right. God help them. They'll fall in the hands of a just God's what'll happen to them. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Why do you think he put them three things together up there? Huh? Shall humble themselves. You got to humble yourself before you can pray. You can't go in there with a proud heart. He'll not have it. He'll not be within 100 miles of it. There ain't no way. These things that I see, things I hear, people slaps God's name all over and He ain't within 100 miles of it. You can put God's name on anything. That don't make Him a part of it though. Huh? If it don't bear witness with your soul,
that Holy Spirit, he'll come in and he'll say, no, I ain't got anything to do with that. Huh? It's line up on line and precept on precept. Holy Spirit's picky what it'll have to do with. Amen? It won't deal with just anything. And I'm going to tell you here tonight, I don't know, some of you probably laid out of church tonight knowing I was going to preach. That's all right. I hope you're home listening to it. You might not think that it'll get to you, but it'll get to you. You can go back, rewind it, and watch it, and watch it, and watch it. Keep watching it till you get it. It'll be all right, but it's time that some of you, amen, and some of us, amen, get the wickedness out of our lives and out of our hearts and repent. John the Baptist said this. He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Honey, I'm telling you, the Lord's on his way. He's coming to get what's his. Amen. And I'm glad that I'm saved and I'm going with him. Amen. Amen. And if you ain't saved, you ain't going with him. It's just that simple. You may have been a member here at Temple Church, Temple Baptist Church, all of your life, and honey, that ain't going to get you nowhere but straight to hell. That's all it's going to do is church membership. Religion, a brother talked about it this morning. It's going to get you straight. And I ain't talked to him all week, so don't think, well, they've been coerced and they hit us this morning and he's going to hit us again tonight. That ain't how this works, folks. God gave me this message last Sunday night when he asked me and he didn't say a word what he was preaching this morning. Huh? So it don't work that way. I'm giving you what God gave me. And actually, to be quite honest and frank with you, the last time I preached, I had all this studied out and had the notes on it. And I was flipping through my Bible today. I'll show you how kind of memory I've got. I forgot all about it, and I went through there today, and I said, well, right there it is. Hallelujah. So I closed my Bible, and I was done. Because I had already studied it, see? I just had to fine-tune it a little bit. Huh? And God came in. And when he placed this verse of Scripture on my heart, I didn't remember none of that. That's all right. That's good. Sometimes that's good, ain't it, Roger? That way you don't get this old flesh in the way. He says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Huh? Amen. What will he hear from heaven? He'll hear that cry from his people is what he'll hear. That cry of forgiveness. That cry that, God, I'm sorry what I've done. God, I'm sorry. God, get rid of the wickedness in my life. God, search me, oh God, and let me know where I failed. God, help me. That's the prayer that we need to be praying here in this church. God, fill this place with the Holy Spirit as you did in the days of Solomon. Amen. I believe God can come in here and he can save those that might be sitting on the church row lost. He can save those that's headed to a devil's hell. He can save those that needs it sitting at home. God can reach everywhere.
Amen.
What are you doing for the Lord? What's in your temple? What are you stacked up in there? It's got dust all over it. As a brother said this morning, how many of you, I ain't got it in my pocket, it's over yonder, thank the Lord. But how many of you, like he said this morning, can hand your cell phone to your spouse and say, right there it is, go through it.
Yeah.
Do you know you carry the devil on your side every day? Every day. Then you pick it up and you look at Facebook and Instagram and all that garbage. It's full of filth. Say, preacher, is that wrong? Well, if you use it for the right thing, it ain't. You can go on mine. Right now you'll find a bunch of wedding stuff on there where Victoria's fixing to get married. That's all you'll find. I don't have anything to do with that. Angela takes care of all that. But any other time you look on there, you'll see hunting, fishing, and there'll be some things on there about the church. That's what you'll see on mine. If I looked at yours, what would it say? And I don't care. I don't want to know what's on it. But God cares. He cares what kind of garbage you're in. It's time to get it out. You want to know why we ain't got any power with God anymore? It's because of the garbage and trash in our life. What do you watch on TV at home? You said, oh, here he goes with the TV again. Let's just throw it out the front door. Well, bless God, if that's what you need to do, then throw it out the front door, take a shotgun to it, blow it in a million pieces. If it's that big of a hindrance. Our kids hear this stuff every day at school. They tell them. They're teaching them things that they don't even need to be taught. Right here is what they need. This book right here. And the church of the living God has stood by and let them kick this right out the front door of the schoolhouse. Huh? Who's going to stop them? It's going to be us. It's time that we get some backbone about us, church. We're spineless. We ain't got no backbone. We don't have no power with God anymore. That's why it's like a roller coaster in here sometimes. It'll get up, then it'll slam right into a wall, and it's over. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit of God. Don't quench it. If he gets a hold of you, he tells you to get up and sing right in the middle of preaching, it ain't going to bother you, is it? Lord's in it, get up and sing. If the Lord ain't in it, keep your seat. It's that simple. And you'll know if the Lord's talking to you or not. If you've ever felt His Holy Spirit, you'll know it's Him. You'll know that's exactly who it is. That heart will be doing this. If it ain't doing that, just don't bother. Can you search your heart tonight? Search me, O God. Where am I? Where do you fit in His perfect will? What has He got in your life for you to do? There's been a lot of things go out here lately, here at the church. A lot of ministries, a lot of different things. If you took that ministry just to have a title, then you took that ministry for the wrong thing. If God's not in it, get rid of it. Give it to somebody that's got a heart's desire to do it.
Amen.
Amen. If you're ashamed of what you're doing, then you don't need to be doing it anyways. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Amen. Don't be ashamed of Him. If you're going to do something for the Lord, plant both feet down and do it with everything you got in you, or leave it alone. How many of you want to see the Spirit of God in this place? Huh? I do. How many of you want to see souls saved right here on this altar? I do. I can remember when I was a kid. You can come on and get you a song. Just play softly if you would, Angie. I remember when I was a kid, there's this old saint of God. Choir would get up singing. She'd get to shouting, and honestly, she was like a ping pong ball. She just spun all the way around the altar, people standing in the altar, bouncing off people. She was probably in her 80s then, and I was, I don't know, probably 10-year-old. You don't see that much anymore, do you? How many of you have been in meetings like that? Huh? I have. I've been in a lot of them. I remember a time that where I grew up at, pastor didn't preach for 11 weeks. Not a lick for 11 weeks. Church would come in and they was ready to have church. How many times have we not had Sunday school here because somebody got carried away before church? That happens. It can happen. You say, preacher, well, that's out of our order and that's out of this and out of that. Boy, I like it when God takes things and stirs it up and messes it all up according to what we got planned in our head. We get used to this routine and we routine God right out of it. Let's shake things up a little bit and worship the Lord. For crying out loud, He died for you and gave you a place to go when you leave this world. Huh? He did. He's our Savior. If it wasn't for Him, every one of us would be headed to hell right now. There'd be no point being here. None at all. So what do we do for Him? What are you doing for Him? You going to seek His face and pray? Now, I'm not going to beg anybody to come to the altar. I ain't like that. I don't do that. If God's thumping that heart tonight and you need to come pray, then you come pray. Go ahead and start playing. I feel like I got to do this tonight. I'm going to follow the Lord. Everybody, if you would, stand to your feet. If you need to pray tonight, would you come? Come and seek him while he may be found. He's near tonight. He's here. Amen. He didn't send this message for naught. He didn't send this morning's message for naught. But he sent it because somebody here is in need. We're about to take the Lord's Supper tonight. And there'd be nothing better. You can take it. You've been saved by the grace of God. You're welcome to take. As the brother said earlier, you can take the Lord's Supper. But oh, how much more would it mean to you to take it with a clean heart? Huh? It's time that we get down to business with God. You say, preacher, I want more. I want this and I want that. You can come and get more. It's all in how much you want to do for the Lord. Would you come? Go ahead, brother.